Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for September 6th, 2011. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Vineet Gupta about how a seemingly counterintuitive approach to inhibiting leukocyte migration can attenuate inflammation. Leukocytes, or white blood cells, are part of the immune system, and they're important in fighting infection and mediating repair of damaged tissues. As part of the inflammatory response, leukocytes migrate into areas of damage or infection where they kill and dispose of pathogens and infected cells and clean up the debris from damaged cells. But like so many other things in biology, as in life, inflammation is only good in moderation. Excessive inflammation can lead to diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis, asthma, and autoimmune disorders. In a paper that appears in the current issue of Science Signaling, Gupta's group reports on a strategy for reducing inflammation by targeting signaling through the integrins that are required for leukocyte migration to sites of injury. Gupta spoke to me from the University of Miami. Welcome, Dr. Gupta.
Thank you. Thank you for the call and for this opportunity to explain our science to your listeners.
How do leukocytes get from the blood to injured tissues?
So the recruitment of leukocytes from circulation into the injured tissue happens in a multi-step process, but broadly speaking involves three things. Capture of these circulating cells onto the walls of the blood vessels, their stable adhesion to these blood vessels, and then their transmigration through the blood vessel walls into the tissue.
Integrins are required for the leukocyte migration. At what steps of the process are the integrins required, and specifically, which integrins did you focus on in this study?
So integrins are these cell adhesion molecules that are highly expressed on the surface of leukocytes. Integrins are involved in the process known as slow rolling of leukocytes on the blood vessel wall. Slow rolling, stable adhesion, stable capture, and then transmigration. All of these steps require these adhesion receptors. There are two primary integrin subtypes that are involved in leukocyte recruitment. These two integrins are beta 1 family of integrins and beta 2 family of integrins. The integrins we focused on in this study are the beta 2 family of integrins and a particular subtype of that integrin called MAC1 or CD11B CD18.
How are these integrins activated during inflammation, and how does the activation of integrins impact the leukocyte's ability to migrate?
On circulating leukocytes, integrins are primarily in a non-active or non-functional state or a low affinity state, which means that the leukocytes have a lower chance of adhering to the blood cell wall. However, upon a certain stimulus, these receptors are activated or they change conformation into the open form where they lead to stable adhesion of the leukocytes. This process of changing conformation from off state to on state of integrins requires signaling through other receptors on the surface of leukocytes, receptors such as GPCRs that bind to soluble or immobilized chemokines and cytokines on the surface of endothelial cells that line the blood vessel wall.
Some inflammation is beneficial, but excessive inflammation can cause tissue damage. Researchers have previously looked at targeting the activation of integrins by keeping them in the off state as a potential strategy for reducing excessive inflammation. How have those trials fared?
The research over the last really, 20 years or so, researchers realized that leukocytes need to bind to the blood vessel wall in order to transmigrate, and this adhesion is mediated via integrins. So it was fairly intuitive that if one were to block this binding via various agents, that one may be able to reduce their transmigration into the tissue. And thus, a lot of reagents were developed against integrins as a blocking agent, blocking their adhesion to the blood vessel wall, or against integrin ligands that are expressed on the blood vessel wall. Most of these strategies, which I would broadly describe under anti-adhesion mechanism, these approaches were fairly successful in animal models in terms of reducing the recruitment of leukocytes into injured or inflamed tissue. However, clinical trials for a majority of these agents failed in various stages of clinical trials. Some of the reasons are clear, but most of the reasons are really not clear as to why they don't work in humans. Some of the reasons as to why they may not work in humans has to do with the process of adhesion itself. Leukocytes are covered with integrins. They have between 100 to 200,000 copies of these molecules on their surface. And in order to prevent their binding to the blood vessel wall, one has to block a very high percentage of these molecules so that the cell is not able to adhere. That's a fairly difficult task and requires high concentration of blocking agents. So that could be one reason. Other reasons could be that the cells are just able to bypass integrin-mediated adhesion and recruitment and use some other mechanisms to be able to get to the tissue. It's really not clear.
So in this current study, you describe your groups taking the opposite approach, activating signaling through this integrin heterodimer rather than blocking it. Why did you decide to try this, some might say, counterintuitive approach?
It's fairly counterintuitive, but you know, when we looked at this problem a few years ago, we realized clearly the blocking of these leukocytes, blocking their adhesion to a blood vessel wall, has not led to that many therapeutic agents in the clinic. So we looked at this and we said, you know what, the leukocytes require adhesion and de-adhesion, this stepwise process, in order to be able to go through a blood vessel wall. Why not increase cell adhesion, which would also decrease their ability to migrate and transmigrate through a blood vessel wall? So why not use that type of an approach to reduce cell recruitment? And initially, we had a lot of resistance, even internally in our group, as to why one should try this idea. But, you know, fairly soon we realized that this might be a good way to approach this problem.
So what animal model did you use for this study, and how did you activate signaling through those integrins?
So the first thing we had to do was develop a bunch of well-characterized reagents to be able to activate the integrins. We had to find some chemicals that would selectively activate a particular integrin that we were interested in. So in our case, we wanted to activate CD11, BCD18. We undertook a chemical library screen to find compounds that would bind to CD11, BCD18 and stabilize it in its open or fully functional form, and use that in a variety of in vitro and in vivo models to see if that would have an impact on reducing leukocyte recruitment into the tissue. We used at least four different animal models. We used simple acute injury models. We used a little more chronic models. And we were really curious to know whether this type of a mechanism, increasing integrin-mediated adhesion, would be more broadly applicable across many diseases and tissue types, or would it be restricted to only a specific sets of diseases and organs?
What effect did activating integrin signaling have on leukocyte migration in these models?
So what we found was activating CD11, BCD18 using these specific compounds led to increased adhesion of cells that express this receptor, so leukocytes expressing CD11, BCD18, but not the leukocytes that do not express this integrin. Additionally, the leukocytes were not able to migrate very well on the surface of ligand-coated plates or ligand-expressing cells in response to a pro-inflammatory signaling event. And thirdly, the leukocytes were not able to transmigrate out of the blood vessels into the tissue where we had caused an inflammation or injury, an artificial inflammatory stimulus. In the four models that we studied a model of peritoneal inflammation, a model of vascular injury, a model of renal injury, and a model of just mechanical tissue injury. In all of these models, we found significantly reduced number of neutrophils getting to the site of inflammation, as well as significantly improved organ function. For example, in the model of a renal injury, we simply looked at the level of kidney failure in these animals as a way of measuring how inflammation affects the organ function. And we found that the treatment of these animals with our compounds that activate integrins significantly improved kidney function in the animals.
If the neutrophils weren't making it to the injury site, where were they? Did they stay in circulation, or were they? Did you see any increased sticking to the blood vessel walls?
So that's, again, a very good question. So we know part of the answer, but we don't know the full answer yet. We looked for whether the neutrophils were being captured or sequestered in different tissue, and thus they were not able to get to the sites of inflammation, and we did not find that they were being sequestered anywhere else. We also looked at certain blood vessels at the sites of injury to see if there was increased stickiness of these neutrophils, and we did see that near the sites of inflammation, the neutrophils were more sticky. However, we don't really know right now as to whether the neutrophils remain there for too long or whether the sheer force of the blood flowing through these vessels was able to push these neutrophils back into circulation. That's something that we have to investigate in the future.
Previous work with blocking signaling through that integrin hasn't been successful for treating inflammation in humans. Do you think that this alternative approach of activating signaling through the integrins might be feasible as a treatment for inflammatory disease in humans?
We are actually quite optimistic, and the reasons are the following. In terms of blocking, as I was mentioning earlier, one has to block a fairly large fraction of the surface-expressed integrins in order to prevent adhesion of leukocytes to their ligand-expressing surfaces. However, in order to increase cell adhesion, one only needs to engage a very small fraction of integrins. So between 3 to 10% of integrins are all that are required to be activated in order for one to see increased cell adhesion. What that translates into is that one can use much lower doses of compounds that would increase cell adhesion and hence have a similar outcome in terms of reducing neutrophils or leukocytes into the injured tissue. So we actually are quite positive, we are quite optimistic that this would be a good way to start developing new therapeutics against inflammatory diseases.
So you mentioned earlier that the compounds that you developed, or at least one of the compounds that you're working with, is specific for this integrin heterodimer and that it doesn't activate any other integrins. Is this particular integrin heterodimer required in other contexts? So I'm thinking about potential side effects of the compound.
Yeah. So actually, you know, let me clarify my earlier statement. We think the compound is fairly specific for CD11B, CD18. We don't right now fully understand how selective it is for that particular integrin over other integrins. It seems to have some selectivity, but we don't fully understand it yet. So that's one. Now, in terms of toxicity, that's another advantage of targeting this integrin. This integrin is expressed on only a subtype of leukocytes, neutrophils, monocytes, macrophages, a subset of DCs and T cells. So these are innate immune cells that get into the inflamed tissue very early on and amplify the inflammatory signal. So we believe that it is a good first integrin to start with and should have much fewer side effects because it's not as widely expressed as some other integrins. Using these compounds does not change the ability of neutrophils to phagocytose bacteria. So in other sense, does not impair their ability to fight against infectious agents, but it does change their ability to get recruited into inflamed tissue. So there might be some selectivity in terms of its function, although it seems like it is a different type of an immunosuppressive agent. So some of the issues with typical immunosuppressive treatment options may also be present in this approach.
Thank you, Dr. Gupta. Thank you for speaking with me.
Sure. I really enjoyed it.
That was Vineet Gupta, senior author of a research article published in the September 6th issue of Science Signaling. That paper is by Miguel and colleagues, and it's titled Small Molecule Mediated Activation of the Integrin CD11B-CD18 Reduces Inflammatory Disease. And that wraps up the Science Signaling Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.